on the archives of the greatest dramas in radio history, we proudly present Hollywood. The Radio Theater brings you Loretta Young and Joseph Cotten in Love Letters. Ladies and gentlemen, your producer, Mr. William Keeley.
Greetings from Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen. Our play tonight is the work of a producer with whom I was closely associated in the past, and whose contributions to the screen I have always admired, Mr. Hal Wallace. Whose pictures have won 27 awards for excellence, who is the only holder of two of the coveted Irving Thalberg Awards, and who has more than maintained that high standard in tonight's screen hit released by Paramount, Love Letters. In our cast are Joseph Cotten, playing his original screen role, co-starred with Loretta Young in her 18th appearance on this stage, a record that has contributed much to your enjoyment. Love Letters gives a fresh, unusual treatment to an almost classic scene in the theater. The story of one man who pleads another's love and finds himself deeply involved in romance with a girl in question. It's certain time, and here's the opening act of Love Letters, starring Loretta Young as Singleton and Joseph Cotten as Alan. London, a few weeks after the end of the war. In Miss Billy Parsons' comfortable flat, a party's been going on since 8 o'clock. It's a little after midnight now, and standing in front of the tall window, gazing into the fog-draped city, one of the guests is in a talkative and philosophical mood.
Yes, my friends, we commit unspeakable crimes. We go to war, blast our cities, blast all sense out of our brains, and yet always there before our eyes is that vision of beauty. A beauty we've never seen, but which makes everything we do seem unbearable. A few months ago, behind the front in Italy, I... Hey, what's happened? Where is everybody?
They're all gone, Alan.
Gone? Sneaked out behind my back?
Listen, here. Here's some nice black coffee.
Oh. Thanks. You mean I've been standing here talking to myself? I'm crushed.
You're also a little under the weather.
I've been drinking.
Yes.
That's bad. Tell me what I've been talking about.
A girl, mostly.
I'm ashamed.
Alan... Who is Victoria?
I've been talking about Victoria.
Who is she?
I don't know. I've never seen her, but I've thought about her considerably. I wrote letters to Victoria. Love letters.
That doesn't make much sense.
Well, I wrote them for a fellow I knew in the army. He thought he was in love with her, I guess.
Who?
His name was Roger Moreland. He married her. I was still in Italy when I learned that Moreland had died. I never did find out just what happened.
You wrote letters to Victoria for a man called Roger Moreland?
Well, I started doing it as a joke.
I don't think it was very funny.
I think it was tragic. But Roger was a man of action. He hated writing letters.
The girl never suspected.
You married him, didn't you? Why are you so interested?
You put me on the track of something.
What?
Never mind.
You're always this mysterious? I wish very much I'd met you before tonight.
Then remember tonight. When you were down at this new place of yours in Beltmont, remember how mysterious I was.
You'd think a murder's been committed.
There has. An old murder.
What is?
And don't ask questions.
You talk about a murder and then say don't ask questions.
Come on, I'll see you to the station. Alan, why are you going to Beltmont?
Well, because an old aunt of mine died and left it to me, her home, her goods, and a man named Mac who looked after things.
During your discourse, you mentioned that Victoria lived in Essex, too.
Victoria Remington, Meadow Farm, Longreach, Essex.
What kind of a man is this Roger Moreland?
He's dead, Delly, and I'm trying to forget that I made a girl fall in love with him.
Your conscience, Dick.
Briefly.
Well, after you've been at Beltmont a while, you'll be able to cope with things much better.
How do you know?
Because I know things about you. Things that may happen to you that you don't know.
The nice things, I trust. Things that will put a little kick into life.
Come along. You're the train to come.
Well, Mr. Allen, so you like the house, do you? You know, it's 15 years since you've been here.
Oh, I was so scared to be changed, Mac. I never found good things to be anything like the way we remember them.
Your aunt wanted it kept just like she had it. She thought you'd appreciate the loneliness and quiet and this coming to rest.
I like that, Mac. Coming to rest. Which reminds me that I could use about 8 hours of it right now.
Oh, what time, breakfast, sir?
Not too early. I want to take a walk before breakfast.
This is for you, Mr. Allen, this envelope.
What is it?
10 golden sovereigns. Your aunt left them for the girl you chose for yourself.
For the girl I chose.
You haven't chosen.
No, I haven't chosen.
Good night, Mr. Allen.
Good night, Mary.
Did you have a good walk, sir?
I went down the road as far as the turn that goes to Longreach. Have you been to Longreach lately, Mac?
Oh, no, not since before the war, sir.
Do you happen to know anyone there named Remington?
Remington? Mm-hmm. No, I can't recall. Wait, though. Remington. Strange. Something I heard.
What?
It was not good.
What?
I don't know.
I'm going to Longreach this afternoon. I want to visit the widow of a man I knew. Can you hire Trappenberg?
I think so, sir.
Mac, if something bothers you for a long time and you know it can't possibly be what you're thinking, isn't it better to find out about it and be disappointed once and for all?
Why are you so sure you'll be disappointed?
I want to be. I want to get rid of it and forget it.
Why? She's free. She's a widow now, you said.
Mac, you're entirely too shrewd. I hope I'm going to continue to like you.
You will, Mr. Allen. I'm a fine old man. You wonder how you ever got along with that.
Where's breakfast? I'm starved. This is Meadow Farm, Mr. Quinton. That'll be the cottage, all right. The first person who's off the Meadow Farm in years, before he said it's well known.
Well, everybody knows it, but knowing a place is not the same as visiting a place.
Wait, come here, I won't be long.
You bought something?
Oh, I didn't see you come up.
What did you?
I want to know if Victoria Moreland still lives here.
She's gone away.
Can you tell me where?
London, maybe, I don't know. Somewhere in London?
I was a friend of her husband.
He? He's dead?
Yes. There's nothing you can tell me about Mrs. Moreland?
Nothing.
Who's in the house?
Nobody's in the house. I look after the farm.
Sorry, I'm stubborn.
It's all right. It's all right.
When you're in
Delphine,
remember particularly how mysterious I was. An old murder. I know about things that may happen to you, but you don't know.
Mr. Quinton, something wrong, Mr. Quinton.
Hmm? Oh, no, driver, nothing's wrong. You can take me back now.
Yes, sir.
No, wait, I've changed my mind. Take me to the railroad station instead.
Yes?
Oh, is Miss Billy Carson at home?
Oh, no, but she'll be back in a minute. Come in, Alan.
You know me?
Mm-hmm.
She's Matt?
Who are you?
Well, who are you?
Brian Finn.
Don't even give me a hint.
Sit down.
Thank you.
It'll be funny to watch you challenge me.
It'll be funny, but not very polite.
Well, should we be polite or honest?
Whichever you prefer me to be.
Oh, I don't like people to try to be what I want them to be.
What should they do then?
Whatever they want. Whether anyone approves or not.
Well, I couldn't possibly say what I'd like to right now.
What?
That you're, well, very pretty.
Oh, please, sir. I'd like to hear it.
You're very pretty, and I'm embarrassed.
And you don't remember seeing me before?
Well, only a feeling that I have.
Well, yeah?
Now, this sounds absurd. Overseas at the front.
No, I've never been at the front.
You knew my name.
I thought of you very often.
Why did you admit that?
Well, why not? I wanted to tell you that I've thought of you, and you'd be glad to hear it.
What made you think about me?
Do you remember being in the shop before?
Only slightly, at a party.
Uh-huh. Billy told you. She told you talked about me.
About you? Yes. What did I say?
She wouldn't tell. Oh, you're upset, aren't you?
Yes.
Why?
I've just come from the library. I found some very disturbing information in the newspaper file.
Oh, but can I help you?
Well, maybe you can. Do you know Victoria Moreland?
Victoria Moreland? No, I've never heard of her.
I'm sure she's a friend of Billy's.
Oh, no, I know how Billy's saying.
Well, it doesn't matter, I suppose.
Oh, it does matter. You're in love with her.
What makes you say that?
The way you pronounce your name. The way you look.
You know what's saying? You knew it before I did. I never realized it until I heard you say it.
You've been in love with her without knowing it.
For a long time.
And you've lost her? Oh, I'd like to help you find...
Look, just who are you? Where did I meet you?
Right here in this room at the party the other night. On Sunday.
Oh, the girl who kept playing the Debussy record, of course.
I wanted to talk to you, but Billy kept me away.
Why?
I don't know.
Well, so you're Miss Singleton.
No, not Miss Singleton. Just Singleton.
What's your first name?
I haven't any.
Oh, now, wait a minute.
Oh, hello, Billy. Look, Ellen's here.
So I see.
Good evening.
I'm sorry. A bit of a shock seeing you. I didn't think you'd be back so soon.
I want to talk to you, Billy. I've been going through some old newspaper files at the library.
We've had a fine time, Billy. Fallon likes me.
Yeah.
Billy, who's Victoria Morland, you know?
No, I don't think of him. Why?
Well, Alan brought to me.
Well, I don't.
Miss Todd has been fine.
Why?
Because I don't want Alan
to be unbothered. Here I am with a basket full of groceries, and the thing I wanted most, I forgot.
My dear.
Darling, run down to the store before it closes.
Oh,
come. A large package of Pearson goats. We haven't a thing for breakfast.
Yes, Pearson goats. And don't let Alan get away before I come back now.
So you forgot Pearson goats?
Yes.
No, you didn't, tell
him. No, I didn't. But I had to get out.
You don't have to explain. I came here only to ask you one question, and you know the answer. Where is Victoria Morland?
Victoria Morland just walked out of that door.
Singleton?
Yes.
I don't believe it. The name meant nothing to her. She wasn't putting on an act.
What were you doing at the library?
Looking for an account of a murder.
Did you find it?
Yes. You can't make me believe that Singleton is a murderer.
Not Singleton. Victoria Morland. Alan, how much do you know about Victoria's past?
Nothing.
Well, she was a foundling. Brought up in an orphanage in Canada. They gave her a name there, Victoria Singleton. When she was 12, Beatrice Remington brought her to England.
Who's Beatrice Remington?
A lonely old maid who owns Meadow Farm. She adopted Singleton, brought her up as a kind of goddess, guarded her ferociously. She was determined that no one would ever hurt Singleton in any way.
How did you come to know her?
I came from Longreach, too. I was Singleton's only friend.
Did you know Roger Morland?
We met him together at an officer's dance. When he went away, he started writing her. He fell in love. She fell in love with his letters. Your letters, Alan.
I know.
Beatrice didn't trust Roger. But nothing would stop Singleton. She married him 3 days after his return. I don't know what happened, only that Singleton changed. He grew silent, withdrawn in a strange sort of way. And then one night, I was home on a visit, just rushed in, Beatrice Remington's farmer. He begged me to come. When I entered the cottage, Roger was lying on the floor, dead. There was a large knife beside him. Singleton was sitting by the fireplace. He was wearing a white dress. There were dark red stains all over. 2 weeks later, she stood trial for the murder of her husband. I was called as a witness.
Now then, Miss Larson, upon seeing the body of Roger Morland, exactly what did you do?
I spoke to Victoria. She didn't answer me. She didn't even recognize me. She just kept staring at the fireplace. In front of the grate was a fragment of a letter.
Did you pick it up?
Yes. It said, I think of you, my dear, as a distant promise of beauty untouched by the world.
Was the letter signed?
I couldn't tell. It was then.
Was Beatrice Remington present at the time?
Yes. She was standing in the doorway leading out of the room. She appeared very ill.
She had nothing to say?
No, all she said was, she struck her. Nothing more.
If it pleases the court, the defense would like to call Dr. Albert Peters to the stand.
Dr. Albert Peters.
Dr. Peters, on the night of Mr. Morland's death, you attended Beatrice Remington?
I did. I found Miss Remington in a comatose condition. She had suffered a stroke of apoplexy, doubtlessly induced by shock. She was unable to speak or to move.
Thus obviating the possibility for even writing down what she might have witnessed?
That is correct. Miss Remington is still in a hospital, still unable to speak or use her hands to write. Dr. Adams and Dr. Wiley have concurred in the findings of my signed statement to this effect.
That is all, Dr. Peters. If it pleases the court, I should like to recall Mrs. Roger Morland to the stand.
Roger Morland, please.
Mrs. Morland. Do you remember your husband striking you?
Who was my husband?
Oh, please, Mrs. Morland, please try to think. You do realize you're on trial for the murder of your husband.
Yes, I understand that. But I swore to tell the truth. I simply do not remember that I had a husband.
Don't you want to remember?
No. I don't know what happened that night. As long as I don't know, it never happened. Not really, not to me. Of course, you can't consider that. You just do what you must. You know it happened. I don't.
Try to think of Roger Morland before you married him. Of the time when you loved him.
I never loved him.
Well, how do you know that if you don't remember?
Because I remember the man I loved.
Who was that?
Well, it seemed a very long time ago. He wrote to me. I remember his letters. I loved that man. He wasn't. So you see, I couldn't have loved Roger Morland, the man I killed.
Of manslaughter. The fact that Roger had struck her was a mitigating circumstance. Several doctors examined her. She was perfectly sane. She'd lost her memory, but not her mind. Amnesia victims are not insane. She was sentenced to a year in prison.
Is that a jail?
Oh, I don't believe she suffered. I don't believe she knew where she was.
She must have known.
If she did, she's forgotten it now.
Forgotten everything?
Everything. Even her own name. The only thing she remembers is her childhood and the orphanage and the name they gave her there. Simple.
She remembers you?
Only because I visited her regularly.
What about Beatrice Remington?
Singleton has no recollection of her.
Where is Beatrice now?
Here in London, at a nursing home. She's getting better. She can speak again.
Will Singleton ever recover? What did the doctor say?
They've warned me never to speak to her about her past. If anyone told her about her past now, the shock could be so terrible she might easily lose her mind. Don't you see why I was so terrified just now when I found you questioning her about Victoria Morland?
Billy, that party here the other night, why was I invited?
Roger had spoken about this. Then when the war was over and you came home, I wanted someone to help me, someone I could trust. Now I'm not so sure I did right. Anyway, that's the whole story.
Except you haven't told the worst of it. You know who the real criminal in the story is, Doctor.
I didn't until you started talking the night of the party.
I'm the guilty one. I made her a murderer.
You're the man she loved. You're the man she thought she married, but she doesn't know it, and you can never tell her.
Does she remember my letters?
No, I don't know.
If she does, if she's still in love with me, if she finds that out, she'll despise me.
And you? How do you feel for her? Hopeless, isn't it?
Yes.
But you couldn't be happy with a ghost. You won't be able to face the day when she ceases to be with him.
Billy, I'd better leave now while she's still out. What will you tell her when she comes back?
I'll think of something.
Tell her I left. Tell her I left because I'm in love with Victoria Morland. Yes?
Alan, this is Billy.
Hello, Billy.
Alan Singleton has disappeared.
Disappeared?
He went out this morning without saying a word, and he hasn't come back. Is he at your house by any chance?
Well, Mac and I have been out all morning, but... Well, no, of course she isn't here.
Alan.
Look, I'll come right into London. There's a train in about an hour.
Oh, I'll wait here, Alan.
Singleton.
Well, Alan, aren't you glad to see you?
In just a moment, we'll return with Act Two of Love Letters, starring Joseph Cotten and Loretta Young. One of America's treasure houses of culture is the Library of Congress, a 3 minute walk from the Capitol Building in Washington. Established in 1800, it was originally just for Congress. But today, 1.5 million visitors a year pass through its imposing Italian Renaissance structure. There are two buildings now, but in another 5 or 6 years, we'll have a third, with a total building investment of $84 million. But preserving the rare items of history makes any cost worthwhile. In the library is the Gutenberg Bible, printed on vellum and dating back to the 15th century. Also the first rough draft of the Declaration of Independence in Thomas Jefferson's own handwriting. And Lincoln's Gettysburg Address, scratched out and rewritten on White House stationery. Visitors also come to see Ben Franklin's diagram of the bifocals he invented. Or more recently, the entire store of Porgy and Bess in composer George Gershwin's own hands. It's all part of America's historical wealth at the Library of Congress. Here's Mr. Keeley at the microphone.
We continue with Act Two of Love Letters, starring Joseph Cotten as Allen and Loretta Young as Singleton. Following Billy Carlton's frantic phone call that Singleton has disappeared, Allen hangs up the receiver, only to find that Singleton is standing in his doorway, quite amused over his obvious concern.
Aren't you going to say hello or something?
Singleton, how long have you been here?
Oh, I think maybe an hour. The door was open. I heard the phone ringing, but I was told it was Billy. I didn't answer.
Now, Singleton.
Please, Alan, don't call me.
Hello. Why didn't you come here?
Oh, I was afraid you decided never to see you.
Well, why would I decide that?
Then it is all right for me to be here, and you shouldn't get thrown there.
Singleton, one just doesn't do these things.
Oh, I know it looks as if I'm running after you, but I know you're in love with someone else. It's all you know, and it's all you know. So you can't stop me.
What?
Anything personal?
Oh, you just came here impersonally.
Not exactly. I wanted to see you.
Now, look, Singleton, Billy's really sick. I'll have to call her. Will you sit down and behave yourself while I'm here? All right, this is paid in 2 hours.
Well, no, I just...
Singleton.
No?
No.
Good.
Incidentally, how did you get my address?
Oh, you mentioned it, Billy's party.
Well, you've a good memory. You...
No, keep it, Alan. I know I have no real memory. Billy told you about it.
Yes.
Is that why you're so
lazy?
Oh, yes, you are, and you mustn't be. Since I have no father, I have no future. Well, you see, we can enjoy it without any obligation to you, Chris.
Singleton, ever since I came back from the war, I've wanted to be alone. I've been miserable with other people. You're the first one with me I've lived with.
Well, that's because you're all broken up inside, almost the same as I. You've been through the war, and you can't bear to look down. I've forgotten, and you don't know to remember. That's the only difference between us.
But you're so calm about everything.
I'll tell you
next.
Well, there, you see, you're afraid of it, and so is everybody else. I have no choice. I can't be anything but
after. I thought you needed a reflection.
We can be good friends, can't we? You're in love with Victoria Morling, and I... Tell me about Victoria.
I'd rather not.
You love her, though.
You mustn't think of it.
Well, someday you'll be happy with her. Well, I don't mind. So right now, you're happy with me, yeah? Oh, you'll come to London after harvest.
Of course.
But don't run.
Why?
I don't know. Maybe it's because I can't write. I can read, but I've forgotten how to make handwritten letters. Billy wanted to teach me once, but I didn't want to learn again. I'm afraid of
it. And I promise never to write.
Good. Well, why are you looking at me?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, aren't you going to show me your house? Can't we walk around the grounds?
I'll be very happy to show you the thing, isn't it? Well, Max, will you call the village? We'll be needing transportation to the station. Singleton, come on. We don't have a car, you know.
Goodbye, Max. Goodbye, Max. Oh, I will.
Don't you give her ideas, Max.
Oh, Alan, I think it's wonderful to ride to the station in the car. Oh,
what's the matter?
Oh, it's my shoe. I broke my shoe.
All right, then I'll carry you.
Oh, I will.
Going to get that train.
And when we get to London, we'll carry me all the way to Delhi.
That's what I'd like second best. All right, driver, we're in.
Hurry up there.
Oh, what's so special?
Not to go to London at all. But most definitely, we are going. Look at me.
Man, all the difference between us. You're unhappy because that can never happen again. And I'm unhappy because it happened once.
He just knows it would be useless to be angry with you.
Oh.
Well, if I'm going to get back to Belfast tonight, night, Singleton.
Don't forget, you're coming to see me soon.
Very soon, I hope. Jelly, I'm not going back tonight. I'm staying in London. I want you to arrange me to do it with money. Please, Jelly, as soon as possible, tell her all about me. Except about the letters. I'll be at the hotel desk. Please call me there anytime tomorrow.
That's your visitor by the window, Miss Remington. You can have a nice chat here in the saloon.
Really?
That's the dealing is. I can feel my sister.
Are you
here
in the house now?
Well, you young man.
I'm
your sister, Remington.
It's a friend of Roger Moreland.
I'm not concerned with the past. Please, that's the point. What did you wish to see me?
I want to marry Singleton.
I expect you to realize what you're saying.
Fully.
Who are you calling Singleton as well? He's not his friend. He's my mother's friend.
We love each other. If we try to escape it, it will be worse for both of us.
The prospect of a lifetime with a woman in this condition is significant. But what if she were to regain her health? Mightn't that hurt to be worse for you?
Much worse.
You are proposing to marry two different women at once. One of them, and a very woman. Only one of them can give you happiness. Would Singleton's consent be binding on Victoria? If then when Victoria comes back to life, Singleton will be free too. How will Victoria look at it? But does her feeling be important?
I have every reason to believe that she'll hate me. Just part of the chance I must take.
Has Singleton consented to me?
I thought I should speak to you first. Of course you don't know me, but
I know a great deal about you. I made it my business to inquire.
Then your answer.
I don't want to interfere. I did that. I lived to regret it. Have you obtained the permission of the priest for such a marriage be signed?
The bishop wants to see Singleton before
you
for the
decision. Do you know that I love my wife?
Yes. Then, for her sake, won't you tell me what happened that night?
Have you read the account of the trial?
Yes.
Then, that's all you have seen. Alibi got a decision to decide. If you get his permission, you have my consent. The day is the case.
I pray you some more tea, Singleton.
Thank you, Bishop.
You don't know how much I'm enjoying this talk with you.
Well, it was very kind of you to invite her. I've always wanted to be a bishop. Well, it's true.
Tell me, are you quite content to be called Singleton? Don't you sometimes wish for a Christian name?
Oh, no, I don't mind, really. Lots of people in the Bible get along with one name. Some others, not too well, it's true.
You read your Bible?
Oh, yes, I do. I particularly like one sentence. That's what profit a man who should gain the whole world and lose his own soul. I always feel as if it were written to me.
Why?
Because, as you must know, I've lost the whole world and gained my own soul. You see, not now I can look at the whole world through my own eyes as if it were new, seen for the first time, and I love it. I love everything. Especially the countryside. I've never lived in a country that's so full of surprises. Like your garden out there, Mr.
Would you like to see my garden?
Oh, very much.
Mary. Mary, this is your department. He will show you soon, my dear.
Thank you.
No, I'll wait here. Have you come to a decision?
Your mind is cleared and the soul is innocent. Both of you have a great deal of courage. But do you think that the thing is under your care? I shall permit your marriage.
Yes, hadn't we better get a cab?
Oh, no, don't let me. But couldn't you sit here in the park?
Shall I?
I'm sorry about the difficulties.
What difficulties?
What about me, the ones you had to discuss with the bishop?
How do you know what I discussed with the bishop?
I like to think of your things. You went around and consulted people to make sure they committed it before you spoke to me. But, Alan, what about Victoria Morgan?
Listen, that's gone and finished. My past is as bad as yours. We're both making a new beginning. I want you to trust me.
I know you love me, but you can't really know it until you find her again. If you don't, you'll never be sure.
I am sure. Singleton, if you love me, you'll forget that name and never think of it again.
Oh, I love you.
Enough to marry me.
What's
the matter?
But I know. I knew you were going to go, and yet when I heard you say it, when I heard you say it, the last time something happened. It frightened me. I don't know why.
Something out of your past.
Well, there is something in that. I don't know what it is, but it's something horrible. Alan, if I remember it soon, they had mine hurt you, and I couldn't bear to hurt
you. Ten gold sovereigns. She left them for the girl I would choose. You.
She wrote something on the other
side. Yes. Be sure she is as solid and true as these coins of pure gold.
I'll take them aside.
In your way. Do you think it would make any difference to you or me if you did remember the past?
I don't know the answer to that question. I love you and I think I'll always love you.
I do very much, but you mustn't force your way into the past. Let it return or not, just as it will.
I didn't care. But I do. I want to be your wife, a real wife.
Not an unusual name. It was the first one you thought of. It could have been Jack or Tom.
I don't know how it happened.
No, whatever he was
doing. Was there someone in my past named Walter?
Don't you worry about that.
No. No, I don't want to worry about anything.
You're the rare down.
Oh?
I'm afraid of losing it.
You're going to lose it, Sanderson.
just a moment, we'll continue with Act Three of Love Letters, starring Joseph Cotton and Loretta Young.
April in Paris is almost the impression of you. That it's not is incidental to the fact that its composer, Vernon Hughes, was strongly influenced and guided by George Gershwin. His first introduction to Gershwin was musical in Constantinople. When he came to America, he was personally introduced to his idol and played for him some of his piano sonatas, prompting Gershwin's urging to try writing real popular tunes that don't be scared about going lowbrow. Whether or not Duke went lowbrow is a matter of taste, but he did turn to writing tunes whose popularity has left. Taking a Chance on Love, Autumn in New York, I Can't Get Started with You, I Like the Likes of You. At the same time, Duke was following the advice of his mentor and writing real popular tunes. He was following the advice of his creative desire and writing symphonic works, which were published under his first name, Vladimir Dukhelsky. Regardless of the name he used, regardless of the type of music he wrote, Vernon Hughes made a valued and enduring contribution to American music.
Here's your producer, William Hughes.
After our curtain, you're welcome, I'm sure, a behind-the-scenes discussion with tonight's star. Here they are in the final act of Love Letters. Loretta Young as Singleton and Joseph Cotton as Allen. Two months have passed. Wonderfully happy months for Allen and Singleton. But Allen realizes fully that each new day brings him that much closer to the moment when Singleton's memory will return. When she remembers Roger Morgan, the mail, and Roger's name, but which you never wrote. It's the 21st day of June now, and Singleton is observing her birthday.
Darling, it's a wonderful idea. This is the first
year of my birthday. That's the advantage of not knowing when you really were born. You have the whole calendar to choose from.
What will happen?
Oh, I'm counting on that. That's why I didn't buy you a present.
Oh, that was you, my girl. Because I had a present for you.
That what?
I've been learning to write. Matt's been helping you all these years. I've written a letter to you.
Thank you, darling.
Of
course. Dear Alan, there are many things I want to thank you for, but I'll just name one because it covers all the others. Thank you for seeing life not as a burden or
don't you love me?
It just surprised me, that's all. But it hasn't gotten the right gravity.
Oh, I don't know. The words just came as if I remembered it in some way. You see, I'm remembering things every day.
What things, darling?
Well, I remember beautiful white dress with red stains on it.
What was that?
I don't know when. But there was music and men in uniform, officers in officers' dress. Well, there was a young man. Quite pretty and handsome.
Hey.
He made me laugh, and I spilled strawberry punch all over my chair.
Don't think about him, Singleton. I've come so much less
You did get me a birthday present, didn't you?
Look out the window. Down by the road.
A car! A new car!
Well, I'll not get it from you, but run.
Oh,
But I told you it's not a good road.
But how do you know? Have you been on it?
Well, you can see the road isn't.
There's something down that road you don't want me to see.
Of course not.
Well, then let's go the long way, wherever that is. You'll have to see everything you can on here.
All right, so I'll go a little bit a long way.
Just don't let this happen to a house without a reason.
Oh, wait a minute. There's a man who's looking at us.
Oh, well, maybe he knows. Good morning. Good morning.
Well, they get away.
Oh, look at him.
I know you're trespassing, but my wife wanted to see the place.
Could you tell us whose house it is? I mean, who owns it?
The end of the cottage is going away. We don't want any
visitors. Oh, I'm sorry.
Please go away.
I'm sorry we bothered you.
You see what happens when you talk to strange men.
We have a wonderful. I want to go home to my wonderful house.
Hello, Sandra.
Oh,
I didn't want to call you. I just wanted to look at you sitting there on the garden wall and just see you. You're beautiful and brave and lovely and you're all coming to touch.
Oh, his name is Roger.
Think of him.
I don't remember his face. It would have had a strange
handle.
I loved
him. I heard him by hour and a half.
Oh, Alan, I loved him. But I don't know who he was.
Miss Bales.
I don't know how I loved him, but...
Miss Cardney and Miss O.S.
His letters.
Your mouth
number... His letters meant so much to me. Nothing can ever be like that, did you?
Singleton.
Your
aunt
was
not
good.
That's not what
it's I don't remember what it called me. Oh, Alan, what am I doing?
I
love you, Alan. I love you, and I don't want to leave you. I don't understand myself anymore, Alan. I love you, and I have no right to kill you.
You have every right, but you mustn't think about it. You must rest and think of it calmly and just be sure it's only a memory of the past.
But you haven't forgotten him. Victoria, you love her, Alan. You still love her. I know you do.
I've got to pick some berries. Can I help you? There's a bush at the lower end of it.
It's blood, darling. There was a fire burning. He was on the floor by the floor. There were red spots on my white dress. What happened? What did I do, Alan? No, I don't want to see out there. Please, Alan, put me down.
Beatrice isn't here, darling. I'm just carrying you into the house and you're going to rest.
What happened there, Alan? What did I do? Who is there who could tell me, Alan? I'm afraid.
I've got to go out. I've got to go to London right away. Don't let anyone in the house, Max. If I'm in luck, I'll be back by morning.
Not
deserve visiting hours. But I told you, nurse, I must see Miss Beatrice Remington.
Miss Remington is not here any longer.
Here?
She left 2 days ago against medical advice.
Well, where did she go?
I'm sorry,
miss.
Where are you?
Matt,
where's your mother?
Oh,
well,
it's
a fine morning, isn't it?
Yes, Mr.
Clinton, where did he go?
To London, ma'am. He left last night while you were asleep. Yes, he is better this morning, though.
Why did he go to London?
I don't know, Mom. But he'll be back soon. Here now, Mrs. Clinton, that's no way to talk.
Well, you think there's something wrong with me, don't you? But I'm quite all right. You don't have to watch me.
Aye, Mom.
There's a postman coming in.
I'll get the name.
No, 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 I'll get it. I'm not afraid of letters anymore.
Singleton, I'm home, darling. Singleton.
Where's my wife?
She's gone, Mr. Allen. I've looked everywhere. She's gone.
What happened?
I don't know. I kept watching her, but she seemed to take a hint. I looked for a loan.
I'll phone Delacarte and maybe. Snack this letter. What is it?
It came this morning. Mrs. Clinton opened it.
From Beatrice Remington. She read it.
Oh, what I have read.
How could she understand? She thinks I...
Mr. Allen, I'm going to Meadow Park.
Here, Miss Remington.
Oh, that was
no, no. She wants to see you.
There's Cardin, Doctor. What is this?
He comes.
I'm Mrs. Allen Quincy. And I need your help. I must find Victoria Morland.
I tried to give her all the happiness I had.
Oh,
I tried to fix it.
Now.
Let's save her from Roger Morland.
Roger Moore.
All these magic talks.
Roger Moore.
Yes,
Victoria thought she loved him.
But
they were married anyway. He wasn't like his
own. No. Avoid everybody.
He's been discovered dead.
It must be some
night. Never been like a good girl in a long party.
I'll drink if I want to.
Roger.
Why didn't you keep reading those letters?
Because I love you. Because I want to think of you as you were when you wrote them.
Stop reminding me of those blasted letters.
Those letters are you, Roger.
I never wrote them. You sure mean I never wrote them? Another man wrote them for me. You meant nothing to him, just as those letters mean nothing to me. Now give them to me.
No.
I'm sick of competing with a ghost.
Roger, don't.
Shut up.
Don't blame them, Roger.
You're going now. And I'm your husband, and you're going to love me for a change instead of a lot of idiotic letters. Look at me. I said look at me!
My letters. I still got the knife and couldn't move. I was in trouble.
Nobody can build happiness on the line. The Ipswich Rennings have learned that, and Roger Moreland, the owner, and I. Tell me.
Sure.
If you found the man who wrote the letters, did you hate him?
I don't know.
I think of you, my dearest, as a distant promise of beauty untouched by the world. Thank you again for giving me. I have been sitting in a barber's chair, Bill, getting my hair cut.
I've been wearing it so long.
If
Barber couldn't make it to the operation.
Good night,
and all our thanks for the prepared performance.
This is William Keeley, saying good night to you from Hollywood.
Now, remember, there are. I'm not really a human.